laws of divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and me.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, salatu wassalamu ala sayyidil mursalin, amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Salatu wassalamu alayka ya rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habibullah. Salatu wassalamu alayka ya nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya nurallah. Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Adherence to Sharia. And we are discussing Ramadan Kareem, this blessed month that Allah Ta'ala has honored us with, and how we should approach this month, what we should do in this month, what we should avoid in this month, etc. But inshallah, before we begin speaking about all of this, let's hear an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif Salat ala Nabi. In Tirmidhi Sharif, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, indeed, on the Day of Judgment, the one who will be most closest to me will be the one who recited the most salawat upon me, most Durood Sharif, most peace and blessings upon me. So this is something that we should aim for in the months of Ramadan as well, where deeds are multiplied and a reward is given to a greater extent than in other months, where we should try and recite Durood Sharif in abundance. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, this month of Ramadan Kareem, we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has blessed us with this month. And we can never repay the favor, any favor of Allah, any blessing of Allah. But Ramadan, this beloved month, where deeds are multiplied manifold, becomes easier to do good deeds. This month in which our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would increase his worship. He, alayhi salatu wasalam, loved this month. He's our role model. He taught us how to approach this month, how to conduct ourselves in this month. Regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidah Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates in a narration that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his blessed complexion, appearance would change when Ramadan would arrive. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do two things with kathra, with abundance, exceedingly. Number one, salah, namaz, prayer. And number two, dua, supplication. Praying to Allah, praying in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So along with fasting, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would in particular carry out these two acts of worship, salah and dua. We need to follow suit as well. We need to do this as well. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more generous than a fast blowing, a strong blowing wind. And his generosity would reach its peak in the month of Ramadan Kareem. Subhanallah. When Jibreel alayhi salam would arrive, and we touched upon this in the previous episode, Jibreel alayhi salam would arrive in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would both do Dawrul Quran, Dawr of the Quran. They would revise the Quran. They would read the Quran to each other. Subhanallah. This is another blessed act, recitation of the Quran in the month of Ramadan. And Hufaz around the world, they do this in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, in particular for preparation to lead Taraweeh prayer. This Taraweeh is also a blessing in Ramadan as well, offering 20 rakat along with Isha prayer. 20 rakat of Taraweeh prayer. It's a sunnah. So here, Jibreel alayhi salam brought the revelation, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon whose heart the Quran was revealed, they're doing dawr of the Quran. Subhanallah, imagine that, picture the scene. Subhanallah. This was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's generosity in the month of Ramadan Kareem. Now, what about the Sahaba? They saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam day and night. They studied his blessed seerah. They learnt from him. They took on his blessed actions. Regarding the Sahaba, it stated And Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates this. He says, in the month of Sha'ban, when the month of Sha'ban would arrive, the moon for Sha'ban was spotted, was sighted. Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een would turn their attention towards tilawatul Quran, recitation of Al-Quran al-Kareem. They would give the zakat of their wealth so that the ghuraba, the masakeen, the destitute and the poor would be able to spend that wealth on Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, for suhoor, for iftar, upon their families. Now, it's also stated that the hukkam, the leaders, they would summon the prisoners, and whosoever was liable for a particular punishment ordained by Sharia, punishment was implemented, and the rest of the captives and prisoners would be freed. Allahu Akbar. The businessmen would repay their debts and would take the qard, the debt from those who owed them. So, what does this tell us? This tells us that before Ramadan has even arrived, people are making immense preparations for it. That tells you that they gave great importance, significance, ahmiya, to the month of Ramadan. They didn't consider it an ordinary month. They didn't just let it come and go, like unfortunately we do today. So, they would remove all obstacles. They would devote themselves to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan. When the moon of Ramadan was sighted, before we heard about when the moon of Sha'ban was sighted, but when Ramadan would enter, Allahu Akbar, they would perform ghusl. Some of them would sit in itikaf. And subhanallah, this is how they would welcome this guest of Allah, Ramadan Kareem. Allah Ta'ala grant us for their sake. This is what we make dua of in the court of Allah. This is our supplication. Ya Allah, the way the Sahaba spent Ramadan, following the Prophet alayhi salam, devoted to the worship of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us a portion of those blessings as well. May we be able to follow suit. May we be able to also do what they did. This is what will really matter in the Akhirah. And of course, we don't want to be of those who are regretful, remorseful, even deprived at the end of the month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala save us from being amongst those people. We want to maximize our time. So, what are those reasons at the end of the day that cause us to enter Ramadan and then leave Ramadan in the same state? Not having bettered our state, our taqwa, our a'mal saliha, our good deeds. What is the reason? Now, there are many reasons. And subhanAllah, every day, the time of iftar, it's stated in a narration that millions of people are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, granted salvation, granted pardon by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How come some people spend the month of Ramadan in ghafla when this is the case? So when it's that time for forgiveness at iftar, people are praying, people are shedding tears in the court of Allah. There are many who, unfortunately, you know, as soon as they open their fast on their mobiles, maybe even watching sinful things, engaged in sinful conversation, just as it was maybe their routine before Ramadan. They don't see the significance of the month. Whereas whoever Allah Ta'ala allows, he is very fearful the time of iftar. Ya Allah, have you accepted my fast or not? SubhanAllah, that's the mindset they have. And then you have some people who, they don't even fast from the beginning. How are they going to be forgiven? Remember, nobody saying Allah isn't Qadir to forgive them. No. But this is the usul of Allah. That to attain His forgiveness, you have to do stuff. You have to do righteous amal. You have to do those actions that lead to forgiveness. And if people are doing the opposite, instead of forgiveness, they're liable for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala states, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever leaves one day of fasting, a single day, without any reason, without any justifiable reason, without any illness, without any lawful excuse, Allahu Akbar. And even if one fasts the duration of his life, he cannot attain the same blessings he would have attained by fasting on that day, that he missed it. Obviously, Sharan, he has to make up for it if he's missed it. But what the hadith is trying to say is the reward that was attainable on that very day when it was prescribed cannot be attained later. Person has mahroom, deprived of those very same blessings. Remember, there are certain people who are allowed by Sharia to miss fast certain illnesses. The illnesses will become aggravated. They will exacerbate. Elderly people who know that they will be harmed if they don't eat, if they don't have the medication, etc. Sheikh Fani. But we're talking about people who are healthy. Wake up and think, oh, I've got a bit of a headache. They may have slept at 2, 3 in the morning, an hour or two before. Suhoor. On their phones, on social media, scrolling. And they wake up, they feel groggy, they feel tired, and they think, oh, I've got a headache, I don't think I'll fast today. Marvel. Or people who, when they feel the slightest bit of hunger, ah, I can't fast, it's too much for me. Allahu Akbar Kabira. In terms of ibadat, Allah Ta'ala knows the limits. Allah Ta'ala is the one who prescribed fasting. He knows that believers can fast. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. The ahkam of Sharia are not overwhelming. Obviously, in certain cases, a person is allowed to miss fasting and other acts of worship. But those are cases which are genuine cases. Oh, I've got a bit of a cold, I'm not going to fast. Or my head hurts, or I don't feel good today. Remember these excuses, we may convince ourselves and convince those around us. Allah Ta'ala knows the reality of the hearts. He knows our state. He knows our state better than us. Who are we, ma'azallah, trying to deceive? Allah Ta'ala cannot be deceived. And if, because of not adhering to Sharia, because of disrespecting Sharia, violating the laws of Islam, the ahkamat of Sharia, a person becomes liable for punishment. How will he ever bear that punishment? In the dunya, if a bit of hot water, boiling water from the kettle, were to fall on someone's finger, imagine how much pain he would feel. Slight burn. They end up in A&E. No matter how long you put it under the tap, you still feel that burning sensation. You still feel inflamed skin. But remember the fire of hell, Jahannam, where the fire is made for this purpose, to punish. There's no other reason. In the dunya, we use fire for various purposes. Many benefits that we attain through fire. But Jahannam, the only purpose is to punish. And according to one narration, it's 70 times more hotter, severe than the fire of the dunya. How will someone bear that? And do you know what the lightest punishment is in the Akhirah? The lightest punishment. A narration states that a person will be made to wear sandals or shoes of fire. And because of that heat, it will rise upwards, reach his head. He will feel as if his brain is boiling. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Just like today we put pot on the stove. Cooking pot. We're cooking something. You can hear the boiling. That the sound of the water in there, the food in there, whatever is boiling. Imagine someone had to wear shoes of fire. That's the lightest punishment. This person who is suffering from the lightest punishment will think that he is receiving the greatest punishment. When in fact it's the lightest. Allahu Akbar Kabir. We can never bear that. We can never ever bear that. That's why we pray to Allah, Ya Allah, through your mercy, do not even punish us for a single moment in the grave, in the time of death, in the Akhirah. Ya Allah, save us from your punishment, eternally. So it's very important that we refrain from disobedience throughout our lives, in particular in the month of Ramadan. We show the utmost respect. We don't miss our fasts. We keep every single fast. We become a role model for our family members, for our relatives, for others who may be weak in this regard and who are looking for excuses. And remember, these punishments are not made up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about these events, has told us about what he observed. He has knowledge of the unseen. He has knowledge of what will happen to people in the hereafter. Sayyiduna Abu Umama Bahili radiyallahu ta'ala, he narrates. He says, I heard the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that I was sleeping, two people came to me. You know, the Prophet alaihi wasallam is narrating his dream, his own blessed dream. Two people came to me and they took me towards a mountainous area. And when I reached the middle part of the mountain, I heard some very loud screams, screeches. And I was made to pass by certain people. They were hanged upside down. And how were they hanged? If you look at your feet, the back of your feet, you see that long vein is protruding at times as well. That vein, they were hanging by it upside down. Allahu Akbar. Imagine how painful that would be. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Their jaws were ripped open. Well, obviously, because of the tear, they were bleeding. Blood was flowing. Who are those people? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told, these are those people who would break their fast prior to it being permissible for them to break their fast, to open their fast. Meaning they would break their fasts. They wouldn't fulfill their fasts. They would eat, they would drink, etc. Or they would do such an act which would lead to their fast becoming invalidated. In other words, they would deliberately break their fast. And when the Prophet alayhi salam asked, what was he told? That these are those people who break their fasts unlawfully, no justification. So it goes back to what I said earlier, where we may convince ourselves, satisfy ourselves, oh, it's okay for me to break my fast. Or we tell other people, oh, I've got a genuine issue. Remember, these excuses, and we're talking about those who don't have genuine excuses or reasons, because the slightest bit of difficulty, they'll break the fast. This hadith applies to them. Look at the punishment. How are they going to bear that punishment? You just heard the lightest punishment in the hellfire. You just heard about this punishment as well. How will such people bear that punishment? Therefore, it's very, very important that we as Muslims, we as believers, we hasten towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we never ever miss any fast without a valid reason. We honor Ramadan. We adhere to the Sharia. We fulfill the rites of Ramadan. We do not become those who are daring in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah. And alongside fasting, we replace our bad habits. We don't spend hours and hours scrolling on social media. We recite Al-Quran Kareem. We try to read the commentary, tafsir and translation of the Quran. We try to do our dhikr and adhkar, istighfar, ask for forgiveness. A million people are forgiven at the time of iftar. And on the day of Jumu'ah, every hour, a million people are forgiven. Then in the end of the month, the total people, number of people who are forgiven, combined are forgiven at the end of the month. Where will we be when those people be forgiven? Are we going to be amongst those who are forgiven? Are we going to be amongst those fortunate ones, those blessed ones, those virtuous ones? If we are, then we must ensure that we spend Ramadan in the correct way. We don't let it just come and go. We don't violate the sanctity of Ramadan Kareem. We show greater respect to Ramadan Kareem. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has singled it out with many, many exclusive qualities and virtues. This is why. You honor the guest of Allah. Yes, Ramadan is the guest of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will honor you. Allah Ta'ala will bless you. Fasting will intercede. Ramadan will intercede for people on the Day of Judgment. Will it intercede for us? That's the question. So how we conduct ourselves, how we behave in the month of Ramadan will determine our outcome. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever attained Ramadan but did not fast, he is wretched. Allahu Akbar. Who is saying this? My master, your master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning Ramadan was there for him to take blessings. He reached Ramadan, he attained Ramadan, he's in Ramadan, he's living, breathing in Ramadan, but he doesn't take advantage. He wastes his time, disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar Kabira. But he could not become of those who are deserving of the mercy of Allah. He stayed wretched. He violated the rites of Ramadan. This is why. This is a wake-up call for all of us. People spend so much effort in adorning themselves, embellishing themselves, beautifying themselves. And remember, to an extent, this is allowed and permissible. We should do it. It's part of our deen, cleanliness. But then you have people who expose their beauty to others. For example, sisters of the Ummah. Their makeup, their provocative clothing and the like is for others, so that other men ogle them, look at them in a lewd manner, in an unlawful manner. But to an extent, everyone is allowed and should look after their health, their hygiene, cleanliness, purity. Yes, that's all good. It's part of the deen, as we explained. But if somebody takes care of his zahir, outward appearance, and he does it for people, let's be honest. He lives amongst people, right? And he doesn't take care of his inner or her inner, neglects the qalb, which Allah Ta'ala is observing. Allah Ta'ala does not observe the outer, he observes the inner, according to the hadith. And we neglect that. We stain our heart, we make our heart impure, we corrupt our heart by doing bad actions in the month of Ramadan Kareem. By disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan Kareem, then ma'adallah, if one becomes amongst those who are wretched, not accepted, what will be our state then? What will become of us? We'll be destroyed. Allah ta'ala will deprive us of all goodness. So it's up to us, the onus is upon us, that we must, when we reach Ramadan Kareem, ensure that at the end of the month, we have husn al-dhan, that our a'mal is salihah, our fasting, our tilawatul Quran, our good conduct, our character, our dealings, mu'amalat with people, mean that we're in a good position. That husn al-dhan, we are in the good books. We are good in the sight of Allah. Otherwise, if we do the opposite, the things that I've mentioned, we don't fast, we violate the rights of Ramadan Kareem, we dishonor it, we disrespect it, and we become of those who are wretched, even whilst attaining Ramadan, whilst attaining that great opportunity that many of those people, millions and billions of people who are in the graves can't attain now because they've passed on, then we're truly wretched. Allah Ta'ala keep us amongst those who are successful, who are amongst the fortunate, and forever keep us distant and away from those who are wretched, unfortunate, and ill-fated. Ameen. Bijahi Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In Allah's divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and me.